Well, there weren't many changes, but there was one that shook the franchise.
Somehow or other, we've got completely off course here.
Shut up, idiot!
With the triangle, the ball is constantly moving.
You are a sad, strange little man. You have my pick.
Ladies and gentlemen,
welcome back once again to the Triangle Offenses Podcast. I'm your host, G Wiz, with my co-host, Dave. And after some retooling, we're back. It's been a long time. Actually, unfortunately, since I basically do all the behind the scenes myself, I made a behind the scenes error. And in doing so, we lost all of our previous content for the most part. I might be able to find some stuff, but for the most part, we lost all our previous content. So all our content will be recorded from now until, but I've learned my lesson and hopefully we'll be good from here on. Either way, so let's get into it. Our first topic involves basketball. The NBA Finals are underway. Golden State Warriors are 2-0 currently. They're going back to Cleveland today. Today is game three. And so we had a conversation, that we kind of lost, but we'll get back into it. You wanted to say that Steph Curry he's in the conversation as the best small guard ever in NBA history. But in saying that, let me ask you a follow-up question, because since we've already had the conversation. And saying that Steph Curry is the best small guard is okay. So we both agreed that it probably should be Allen Iverson. But where does Steph rank? Is Steph right behind Allen? Is there somebody else that you would move in number two spot? Is Steph your top five? Obviously, you think Steph is pretty. He's elite. So where is he? Is he two? Is he three?
As of right now, the only knock against Steph is that he only has 8 years in, but his resume as of right now is immaculate. Like, if his career keeps going like this, he's to me, he's number one. Like, I really was rooting for AI, but I couldn't. I don't know, man. I couldn't, you can't deny his resume. I mean, the problem that you stated earlier was who he's playing with. But minus the late addition of KD, he won two MVPs without KD.
It's true.
Like, he won the scoring champ without KD. He was the steals champ without Kevin Durant. Like, he's in a good system, a great system that fits him. But I can't put that against him. You know what I mean? Like, I can't take away from him for just being drafted on the team. Like, he didn't leave and join this team. Like, him and Clay and Draymond all kind of developed together. So I give him credit for that. But, I mean, he's a five-time All-Star. He was on the All-NBA team four times. Rookie, you know, like, his resume's there.
Yeah. And I can understand that. And not to cut you off, but I can understand what you're saying. And to kind of expand on that a little bit, what I was talking about was, if when we look back on Steph Curry's career, we're going to look back and say he played with three other Hall of Famers, not All-Stars, not really, really good player. He played with three other Hall of Famers, in Klay Thompson, Durant, and in my opinion, Draymond. Draymond, he has to make the Hall of Fame. What he does for them is phenomenal. But in doing that, when you could look at Golden State, and then in the reverse, you go back and look at the Philadelphia 76ers teams. I was just watching, they always post the video where Allen Iverson stepped over Tyronn Lue. Yeah, stepped over current Cavaliers bomb
coach
Lou. Tyronn Lue. That's when he made the decision to become a coach, actually, right after that. But I was looking at other people in the video, and I said, who is that guy? Like, you know, I know the team. I knew the players at the time because, you know, it was 2001. I was graduating from high school. But I'm like, who did that guy become? Nobody. Who did that guy become? Nobody. And the only guy who was somebody, who was a Hall of Famer on that team, was the guy that they traded for mid-season, which was Dikembe Mutombo. So, and he was on the downswing of his career anyway. But, you know, you think about George Lynch, Tyron Hill. All of these are, they were solid role players, bench players in the league who were asked to start around Allen Iverson. I think when you, the issue is when you look at what Iverson did with what he had in that stretch to go against the teams he had to beat was a Toronto Raptor team that was on the rise. Vince Carter had a fantastic year, and he finally got that team to the second round, I want to say. Took him all the way to game seven. Couldn't get the job done. Then they had to play Milwaukee. Milwaukee had Glenn Robinson, Sam Cassell, Ray Allen, what was Tim Thomas. They had a monster squad out there, and then somehow they beat them in seven games. So, and then they had to play the Lakers, which was a tough task, but they won game one in L.A.
Yeah.
Behind Iverson's 51. So
they swept everybody, and then they ran into Iverson stole that game one.
And they had won 12 straight games going into that finals. And everybody looked at it like, well, they'll just blow through Philly. And it didn't happen. In game one, on their court, in overtime. So Allen Iverson was a monster. And looking at the time and what he did, not just leading the league in scoring, but also leading the league in steals multiple times. Multiple times. I want to say he did it 3 years in a row. I had to have my numbers got checked that. But I want to say he did that 3 years in a row, man, where he led the league in steals. And he led the league in scoring at least twice.
It was 3 years in a row. He led in scoring four times.
It's unbelievable.
He got three steals. Yeah, he did it 3 years in a row.
So, to me, that puts him above Steph currently. Now, Steph, I time will tell. But you make a good point also because Steph has already won two championships. He's been there four times.
It definitely takes a hit now that he got KD because it's almost overkill on the roster now. So it's kind of – it kind of skews his numbers. Like now he can't see the same defenses because you got Kevin Durant, another MVP player in their prime on the floor at the same time. So it's like that kind of shifts the dynamic. That's the kind of problem I had with the LeBron Heat teams. It was kind of hard to focus on one guy. You got two other Hall of Famers playing in their prime. But that's another argument for another day, I guess. But, I mean, I can't argue against Allen Iverson. Pound for pound, the dude still is one of the greatest guys of all time. So I can't dispute what you're saying. Like it's,
but like I said, too, time will tell. Because
we
don't know how it's going to work out in Steph's career. It could be he could eclipse him. I mean, easily he could eclipse him, especially if he wins a Finals MVP this year and a championship.
Yeah, I mean, numbers-wise, that's what I said. Numbers-wise, he's on pace.
Yeah.
Like, Iverson has scored four scoring titles, but Steph has two already. So, one, my bad. But even still, like his accolades are kind of piling up, too. And then the fact that he's winning championships, too, even despite the slanted teams and the way the offense is ran. But, like, you can't deny the man winning rings.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I can. Yeah. You really, like we say, time will tell. We'll find out soon. Game three is tonight. It's in Cleveland. We're not going to do a series breakdown, but right now, it's looking like Cleveland, they about to get spanked. They just don't have enough. And I think I speak for both of us on that. Moving on. So, the other topic we wanted to discuss was Steve Kerr. Now, this was something that kind of occurred to me. Just thinking about Steve Kerr and how people view Steve Kerr. Now, when you look at greatest coaches in NBA history that you consider greatest coaches in NBA history, you put Popovich on that list. You put Phil Jackson on that list. It starts to kind of go down from there, but you got Chuck Daly, you got...
I don't know, man.
Who else you got?
All right, so...
Some people consider Dan Tony one of the great coaches. Moving on.
Dan Tony. I don't know about Dan Tony, but I was looking up some of the numbers, some of my stuff I had yesterday I lost, but Kerr's on pace to be the greatest.
Yes.
But he only has 4 years in. So a lot of the guys on the list got 20 plus years in the game. So it's like, it's kind of, you can't really compare him right now.
It's a good point.
In my opinion.
It's a good point. But let's dig into it, because while I'm saying that, just follow me where I'm going. Just follow me down this yellow brick road. Kerr, if he wins this year, he'll have 3 titles in 4 years. Some people say, wow, that's fantastic, especially in a professional league like the NBA. It never happens that way. Right. Very rarely. I think Pop won 2 and 4. I want to say Phil, it took him a couple years to win the first one, but after that, he won 3 straight. But when you look, what I'm getting at is who's on his team. We look at Phil Jackson, and people make the argument that Phil Jackson was a ring chaser because when he got to those teams, you had the best player in the league on those teams, right? So they say when Phil got to Chicago, he had the best player in the league, and Michael Jordan, he had a really up and coming sidekick in Scottie Pippen. And they developed into being the best team in the league and won 3 straight. Then Mike left, and you know, they had a couple playoff disappointments. Mike came back on the second year. They lose to Orlando on their way to the finals. And then the next 3 years after that, he wins 3 more championships, right? He leaves, takes a retirement. Goes up in the mountains, comes back down out from the mountains, goes to LA, and wins 3 championships there after about a year or two. So we're looking at all that. Kerr has only been here 4 years. The team was assembled with the core before he got there. So Steph was there, but he was injury riddled. Klay Thompson was young. I think it was his second year when Kerr got there. Second or third. And you had a young Draymond, and now look what has become of it. So, what I'm getting at is, do you consider if they win this championship this year, do you consider Steve Kerr already the best coach of all time?
No.
Okay.
No, you can't do it in 4 years, man. You just can't. Like, listen to Phil. Phil did it for 20 years, had 11 championships, and he still has the second highest win percentage over a 20-year span. Like, that's – I mean, in my opinion, that's too hard to top. Like, I get you got other coaches like Don Nelson who got 1,300 wins, and you got Popovich, and it's a bunch of Red Auerbach won 9 championships. But when you start looking at eras, like Auerbach was in the 40s and 50s, you know, you start comparing the eras and the players and that kind of stuff, it kind of gets kind of tedious. But Phil did it almost in 2 generations.
It's true.
He did it for 2
different
years.
Eras in the league.
Yeah, he did it for 20 years. And he still had that high winning percentage. Like, I mean, say what you want about
how high can
had.
You rank? Yeah, there we go. So how high can you rank him when he had Mike, Scottie, Kobe, and Shaq?
It's still up there. I mean, look at what's his name in Miami? Spoelstra in Miami. he had one of the greatest rosters. I mean, one of the greatest starting fives put together. He had three of the top 10 players on the floor at the same time.
That's true.
And he only went 2-4. Like, the fact that he lost that Dallas series, I mean, say what you want. There's no way Jason Terry should have killed him like that. You know, you got LeBron, Wade, and Bosh.
Whether LeBron now is not the LeBron then.
That's playing devil's advocate, but I agree with that. I can take that. But even still, you still got Wade. Like, at his best, you got Mike and Scottie. You got Shaq and Kobe, who were dominant forces, respectively. But Phil knew how to win. Mm-hmm. He managed rosters. He managed egos. He managed what players, who had to be in what position. Everybody always bought into what Phil was saying. I think that's bigger than your roster.
Mm-hmm. So it never mattered to you personally. It never mattered to you who Phil had on the team. The only thing that mattered to you is results. Is that what I'm hearing?
Kind of, sort of, but I feel like the roster is part of the coach's problem. Like, how many good teams have we seen? LeBron was on a 60-win team two times in a row, and they lost to worse teams, in my opinion, in the East. Mm-hmm. Before he went to Miami, I can't remember what year, but two of those years, they won 60 or 62 games back-to-back, and then they end up losing they got out-coached. They lost to Miami and other teams, and I think it shouldn't have happened. The rosters were good enough to win. I feel like the coach can take the team the rest of the way. Once you get your roster to a certain point, look at Toronto. Toronto, regular season champs, but for whatever reason, they can't get over that hump.
Playoff chumps. I just thought
that. Yeah, but, you know, I mean, they seem to be hitting the wall. Teams seem to hit this wall. And it's like coaching can take them the rest of the way. I feel like a good coach, like a Brad Stevens, can maximize your talent.
Yeah. I agree. I feel like Phil
was the best at doing that. Like, he knew which players to put in at which positions. Like, a few years ago when Popovich messed up and took Tim Duncan out the game, like, it's the little nuanced stuff coaching that can have huge ripples. And Phil didn't make the mistakes. I mean, he did have some great players on his team, but
he could have put him
in
bad
positions, or he could have made certain guys mad, or, you know, like, there's a lot of different little nuanced stuff that Phil didn't do that great coaches don't do, that everybody always bought in,
yeah,
and he got wins out of.
I think sometimes the talent takes you there. Like, Phil would never pull out a Scottie or a Mike, because he just let the talent take him. You know, this is their time. Let them play. When you're trying to maximize the talent, like a Brad Stevens or you know, what more so I'm thinking about a Greg Popovich, when you brought up he pulled out Tim Duncan in the finals, in the Heat series. Sometimes you're thinking of you're not saying, just let me let the talent do the work. Let me put the talent on the floor and let's see what happens. Sometimes you overthink it. He overthought it. Phil, I could never confuse Phil as being an overthinker. Phil was always just like, well, I got Shaq and Kobe. I mean, I'll just let them go out there. Like, when they were feuding with each other. Well, okay, what they got to do with me? I'll let them figure it out. They run this team.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, he was a master motivator. Right. Like, he didn't get in the way.
Right. And I agree with you. I'm agreeing with you 100%. I'm just being, you know, I'm being the other side of the coin for a moment. But I agree with you 100%. I think Phil Jackson is the best coach of all time.
Like, what about Tyronn Lue? Because Tyronn Lue, I mean, as far as win loss percentages, he's up there with Steve Curry. Like, I think it's 69 to 70% as far as win percentage. He got two conferences. Like, he's got a championship in 3 years.
Tyronn Lue's a bum.
Three finals have sold.
Tyronn Lue is in the same. He's in the same boat to me as Blatt or who's the assistant coach for? He used to coach Cleveland. Y'all hated him. he's the assistant coach for Golden State now. He was coaching while Kerr was out. Mike Brown. They both on the same level to me. They all on the same level to me. I don't see any difference. You put them up in front of me, I say they all the same guy. I don't see a difference because they all do the same dumb things during a game and to the end of a game, which just makes you're going to lose that way. And speaking of which, I put D'Antoni in there too. From this past, you put the talent on the floor. That's true. But when you only got one talent and you're trying to maximize the rest, sometimes you need to pull them less talented dudes into a huddle and tell them, look here, man, either you do what I say or you're going to sit down and I'm going to put in that other less talented guy. And he going to do what I told him.
D'Antoni's problem is that he's never been both-sided. Like, he's been so focused on offense. Like, his defense has been terrible. So that's what cost him championships in Phoenix, and it's cost him one in Houston. Like, to a lesser extent, Houston, because they did actually show up defensively. But the Phoenix teams didn't play any defense. Mm-hmm. But he's a whole different can of worms. But I think the roster is one thing to look at, but I think you still got to look at kind of how it's the other intangibles I look at a coach. Like that's why, you know, I mean, Popovich, some of the wins, like, I think he don't have the wins. Well, he's top 10 in wins, so I think that's one of the things. But Popovich,
he's got the wins. I mean, yeah, he's been to the playoffs.
He's definitely in the
top. Been to the playoffs about 11 years in a row, 15 years in a row.
Oh, yeah, he's a lot.
Yeah. The problem, it's just a difference in how you want him, I think. I think Popovich is the most well-rounded coach of all time because he's won the championship four ways and four almost seemingly different ways. The first time he had two in Towers. Second time he had the Spaniard with the Frenchman. And Tim Duncan. The third time, I think it was them again. And then the fourth time, it was shooting the lights out against Miami.
He's evolved as a coach.
Yes,
more than any coach I've ever seen. Because Phil's philosophy didn't really translate to the newer generation.
And he's made a lot of bums.
Trying to build a roster in New York.
He's made a lot of bums, a lot of money. Tiago Splitter, where's that guy at right now?
Yeah, I'm going out.
Just a number of a plethora of bums have made tons of money off of Popovich's grade A coaching. So we'll finish it right here. Last topic is music. We don't talk about music that much, but we have had an album drop. Kanye West. Yay or ye. I don't know. It might be a soft Y. But so you've listened to it. Just give me. We'll break it down track by track on another show. But just give me your initial feelings from 1 through 7 of yay.
Underwhelming. Very underwhelming. Mm. Apart from Violent Crimes, we ain't gonna do a breakdown. But Violent Crimes, I felt like that was the most depth I've heard out of a Ye verse in years. But I don't know. I think the rest of the album is kind of it's all over the place.
Yeah, kind of like his brain right now.
Yeah, like it's not consistent. The track with Kid Cudi, Ghost Town, I kind of like it. I know they're supposed to have a project coming out,
which I think is gonna be dope.
I'm a Kid Cudi fan, so I'm kind of intrigued by that. Maybe the sound will sound similar to Ghost Town.
That drops Friday, which we could probably record another show, either Friday or Saturday, where
we need to do a show where we rank Ye's album.
We could do that too. I want to do a bracket.
Graduation, and my God, that album is fantastic.
Late Registration or Graduation?
Late Registration.
Both of them are fantastic.
Late Registration, like that. But anyway,
Yeah, we can talk about that another time. My reaction to it is I felt the same. I was underwhelmed. And I believe I was underwhelmed because my expectations were not met. My own personal expectations. I'm expecting a lot from a crazy man. When I had to stop and think about it. Like, this dude, he's addicted to drugs, certain drugs. He's addicted to having surgery on his body. He's out here talking crazy. He's wearing he basically had a clothing line inspired by bums on the street. Why would I expect him to give me grade A quality classic? Yay, I'm crazy. I'm crazy like him. What am I thinking? So I've listened to it once straight through, because that's how I like to listen to albums. I listen to them straight through. I don't even look at track titles, so I couldn't know what track you're talking about. But when I listened to it, it felt like a crazy man. It felt like this dude has lost his mind. Who mumble? Not even mumbling on the track. The dude is just making noises. I said, yo, my man has lost it, right? And then in the end, in the very last song, he gathers himself up. It felt like he was in an alleyway.
But anyway, like this. Lost my train of thought, but the second track, not the second, the third track, All Mine. That's the one where he kind of like mumbles the Dula Abangada line.
Yeah,
like
genie in a bottle.
Yeah. I'm like, what
are you talking about?
I wanted to like that one too, because I kind of felt the beat, but the song just didn't make sense.
Yes. I wanted to like it so bad.
I tried, man. I listened to it about two or three times, man. I was like, I don't know if I like this or not. It just was confusing me.
You probably could just go out to wait for the remix when he put Drake on there and push it to you. Make it an actual real song. Cause this
that song, I feel like, could have used a sample. Like, not a sample, but a feature on it. Like,
yes.
If he would have put Push on that, I think Push would have destroyed that beat.
Yes. Even Kendrick. I don't know if Kendrick is down to do something like that for him, but put Kendrick on there? Whew. Lupe, well, why ain't put? Well, I don't know, man. Whatever.
You can't have that's too much crazy in one room.
You might be right. But either way, that's our lukewarm review of Kanye West's album. Yeah, it's very tepid. It's like when you go to a water fountain in school and you like, man, I'm so dang thirsty, and then you hit that button, put your mouth to it, man. And that water be warm. That's how Kanye felt. It's like
it's
the expectation.
It's just bubbling out of the fountain too. Like, it ain't really enough to get none. And you're like, ah, this is the worst. he only gave you 7 tracks, man. So it's like, it ain't even enough to sip, man.
It's nothing. How can I give you a full review and you don't even give me a full album? Talking about he going for the 777 completeness, the number 7, whatever, dude. So basically, Steve Kerr could be the greatest coach of all time. Steph Curry could be the greatest small guard we've ever seen. And Kanye West is he's lost. So I want to thank my co-host Dave for coming on. We'll try to get more episodes out. We want to do this every week. We love doing this. We want to do it every week. We kind of have to get some things settled, but now we good. Hopefully, and we'll try to get this out every single week. Try to get you good content. So, for my co-host Dave, I'm G Wiz, and we'll see you guys next time.